Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Will you help support the scientists working to disseminate the evidence about intelligent design in nature? Go to evolutionnews.org and donate now to support Evolution News and our other initiatives in the coming year. 10 years ago today, an activist federal judge in Pennsylvania tried to kill intelligent design by court order. In Kitzmiller v. Dover, Judge John Jones declared that teaching about intelligent design was unconstitutional because intelligent design was religion rather than science. Contrary to what Darwinists thought would happen, it wasn't over after Dover. Thanks to the support from independent-minded thinkers like you, intelligent design did not die after Dover. Instead, we produce new books and films advancing the argument and have helped to fund and support the work of scientists and scholars researching the evidence for intelligent design. We in the intelligent design movement don't depend on tax dollars. We do depend on voluntary help from people like you. As we progress toward the 20th anniversary of the Center for Science and Culture next year, we are preparing a stream of new books, scientific research, documentaries, and more to push the debate forward. But we can't bring these things to completion without your support. Will you take a stand against censors like Judge Jones and help us continue and expand the debate over intelligent design in 2016? Please donate now to support the work of intelligent design. Go to evolutionnews.org and donate now. That's evolutionnews.org.
Welcome to ID of the Future. I'm Sarah Chaffee. Today we'll be listening to part two of a lecture Casey Luskin gave on the taxonomy of information. He delves into the definitions of semantic information and complex and specified information, detailing their relationship and explaining how to use information to make a design inference.
Well, how about Kolmogorov information? Kolmogorov information is a form of algorithmic information theory. His definition was compressibility. If it's compressible, it's not random and it's not complex. If it's not compressible, then it's not random and it's very complex. And again, keep in mind, he's operating in the context of computer science, programming some computer language. So in his definition, compressibility is basically proportional to 1 over the randomness. So I actually like the definition of Kolmogorov information given by Winston Ewart, who's an ID theorist and a computer scientist. He says it's the length of the smallest program that produces a given output, or it's the number of symbols required to describe the object. I think that's a nice definition of Kolmogorov information. So let's look at this string. Instead of sending 010, we're going to send 000111000. This is a highly compressible string. We have redundancy. We have three zeros, three ones, and three zeros. We could compress this into just 010. So this is a highly compressible, low Kolmogorov complexity. How about if we look at just one-bit programs? How many one-bit programs are possible? Only two, 0 and 1. So that's not very compressible. How about how many programs with 100 bits? Well, now there are 2 to the 100-bit possible programs of 100-bit length. Very few of these 100-bit sequences would be compressible. The vast majority are going to be incompressible. They're going to look like something that's random, or there's going to be no algorithm we can use to compress the data. And so they're not going to be compressible. So compressibility, of course, assumes a computer environment. And we can express Kolmogorov complexity in terms of computer programming commands. So let's look at a couple examples here. Let's say this is our computer program, the string 11111 57 times, okay? Well, we could actually encode that same string in a computer program that says repeat 1 57 times. So that's fairly compressible, low Kolmogorov complexity. Well, here we have another string that I generated from random.org just using the numbers 1 through 10. I should say 0 through 9. This is much more difficult to describe. It's not compressible, so it's going to have very high Kolmogorov complexity. How about this string? Kolmogorov information is a poor measure of biological complexity. How could we compress this? Well, maybe we could remove the vowels and somebody would still be able to discern the meaning of this string. What about this one? This is, again, from random.org. And again, it's not compressible. You can't compress this. The only way to describe the string is to print the entire string out. So it has high Kolmogorov complexity. So Kolmogorov information is not necessarily tied to likelihood. In fact, what's interesting is that higher Kolmogorov bits could mean more randomness. So this is not useful for distinguishing functional information from non-functional information. A random string or a random set of data might contain higher Kolmogorov complexity than a non-random meaningful functional string. And so it's not a great way to measure the meaning or the function of a string. Okay, let's talk about semantic information. This is another type of information. Well, the definition of semantic information is information that has meaning. But it's not just any kind of meaning. Semantic information involves the significance of a message, whether or not an intelligent agent was involved. And I like this definition. It's from Randy Isaac, who's a really nice guy, an atheistic evolutionist. And I believe he's also an engineer or physicist. And he's defining semantic information. So I would agree with Dr. Isaac that semantic information is one way to detect design. But he would argue that it's really the best way, or maybe even the only way, to detect design. I would argue that there are other ways to detect design. And we have to find, but let's talk about this some more before we get there. And we'll talk about what is the best way to detect design. So semantic information is not exactly what Shannon had in mind. And it's not really what's at stake with complex and specified information, which I will be defining in just a moment. Complex and specified information is trying to identify some subset within a reference class of possibilities. It's not looking at the subjective meaning, it's looking at the objective meaning. Whereas semantic information means that you're looking at the subjective meaning of some string. So according to Dr. Isaac, in abstract symbolism, the symbol has a meaning assigned to it, which does not necessarily derive from its physical properties. Okay, fine. So I would say semantic information could occur by a natural cause or by intelligence. For example, if you're driving a car along and you see a stop sign, here you have a human intelligence that's put up a sign telling you to stop. You see a stop sign, that is telling car drivers to stop. What about this? TGA in nature is a piece of information which tells the genetic code to stop translation, tells translation to stop within the genetic code. So this is a natural form of what I would argue is semantic information. Any other codon would do just fine to signify stop. There's no reason why TGA has to be the stop codon. So TGA seems to have some abstract meaning assigned to it that doesn't derive from its physical properties. I think this meets the definition of semantic information. So why should the genetic code be excluded from intelligently designed semantic information? I think it is a form of intelligently designed semantic information. Dr. Isaac elsewhere says, coding in and of itself does not necessitate intelligence unless the coding represents abstract symbolic meaning, or abstract symbolism is a hallmark of intelligence, especially as manifest in language and communication techniques. I would say I agree with a lot of that, actually. And I think that when we see TGA, I don't see why the abstract symbolism of the genetic code should be excluded from being semantic information. I think that this is a form of semantic information. But is it the only way to detect design? For example, the bacterial flagellum. It itself is a machine. There's no abstract symbolic information in the bacterial flagellum. Yet we might be able to detect design. Or let's think about, you know, go to Mount Rushmore. Mount Rushmore clearly is designed. It's conveying, it shows evidence of design, but yet it's not conveying any kind of an abstract symbolic message. So I think that we don't necessarily have to find semantic information in order to detect design. Your car's engine is designed, but it doesn't carry any kind of abstract symbolic meaning. So let's talk about complex and specified information and how this definition of information is the best way to detect design in these different examples I just gave. So how do we define complex and specified information? Well, complexity is related to the unlikelihood of an event. And it's specified if that event matches some independent pattern. Okay? So this is a quote from Stephen Meyer. He says, "Our experience-based knowledge of information flow confirms that systems with large amounts of specified complexity, especially codes and languages, invariably originate from an intelligent source, from a mind or a personal agent." I really like this quote to sort of just introduce the very basic concept of specified complexity. He gives two examples, codes and languages. So in our experience, codes and languages always come from an intelligent agent. And this sort of gets at what I would call the positive case for design. Intelligent design is based upon finding in nature the kind of information and complexity which in our experience always comes from intelligence. So, for example, whenever we find a code or a language and we know where it came from, it always traces back to a mind or a personal agent. But then, of course, guess what's at the very heart of life? A language-based code. So Dr. Meyer uses this term specified complexity, which is another way of saying complex and specified information. Let's try to define that. Interestingly, some people have thought that complex and specified information is an idea or a concept or a term that was invented by ID proponents, and that's actually not correct. Complex and specified information, the first use of this concept that I'm aware of goes back to the origin of life theorist Leslie Orgel, who in the 1973 book, The Origins of Life, Molecules and Natural Selection, wrote the following. He says, living organisms are distinguished by their specified complexity. Crystals are usually taken as the prototypes of simple, well-specified structures because they consist of a very large number of identical molecules packed together in a uniform way. Lumps of granite or random mixtures of polymers are examples of structures which are complex but not specified. The crystals fail to qualify as living because they lack complexity. The mixtures of polymers fail to qualify because they lack specificity. So this is one of the first times, to my knowledge, that the term specified complexity was used. And he's using it to characterize the kind of complexity that we see in living organisms. And he's using it in very much the same way that ID theorists use this term. And I actually, as a geology background that I have, I really appreciate this definition because I think it really helps to capture the essence of what is complex and specified information. He first talks about crystals. Well, crystals are very specified. Crystals are basically a particular pattern of atoms that's repeated over and over and over again to generate a crystal. And they might be specified, but they're not very complex. You can actually pretty easily define or describe the patterns of elemental packing in a crystal by looking at the laws of chemical bonding, the laws of elemental packing, the laws of geometry, the laws of bonding. These things can easily help us to define and describe the way that crystals are shaped. They're specified and they have a pattern that repeats over and over again, but they're not very complex. They're easily described by a few physical laws. On the other hand, if you have a random mixture of polymers, that's something that's very complex but not specified. In fact, if you think back to the Miller-Urey experiment, what did Miller and Urey produce? They produced this sort of gooey tar with all these random organic chemicals in it. This was a highly complex mixture of chemicals, but it wasn't specified. In fact, that's one of the criticisms of their experiment, that you can never explain the origin of complex and specified proteins just by invoking the Miller-Urey processes, because all it produces is a bunch of random organic chemicals. It's very complex, but there's no specification. Living organisms, however, are different. They're both complex and specified. And I think this intuition is a very important one that ID theorists have looked at and taken even further. So again, how do we define complex and specified information? Let's give another example. Again, something is complex, roughly speaking, if it is unlikely. So let's say that we find this microorganism X under the microscope, okay? And we find that it has this long sequence of zeros and ones. Now, this is a very unlikely sequence of zeros and ones. So we're going to say this is a complex event. This is a very complex string of binary code that we see in this organism. Now, is that alone enough to detect design? No, because complex or unlikely things happen all the time, and we don't necessarily detect design. Let me give you guys an example. Let's say that I was to deal each of you out a five-card hand of poker, okay? Now, every one of you is going to get a very unlikely hand of cards. Some of you might even get a very good hand of cards, like a royal flush or a straight. Now, even if you get a good hand of cards, whatever hand you get, it's going to be unlikely. Now, you're not going to look at that hand of cards and say, oh, I got an unlikely hand of cards, therefore the deck must have been stacked. No, you're going to say, look, unlikely things happen all the time, and we don't necessarily have to detect design. But now let's say I deal you each out a hand of cards, and every one of you gets a royal flush, okay? And we do this again and again and 100 times, every one of you gets a royal flush every single time. Well, now you're going to begin to suspect what? That the deck is stacked. It was not just the random shuffling of cards that gave this outcome, but the deck was predetermined by some intelligent agent to yield this particular distribution of cards. So now it's not just complex, it also is specified, and then it matches some independent pattern, namely the winning hand of cards. And so it turns out that this sequence of zeros and ones that I just showed you, it also is not just complex. This is actually binary code for the ASCII characters that spell out the sentence, "Biology is a study of complicated things that give the appearance of having been designed for a purpose." And of course, that was said by Richard Dawkins, who he does not believe in intelligent design. He thinks that the reason that things look designed is because they were actually designed by natural selection. What ID theorists would say is maybe the reason that living structures look designed is because they really were designed. And in any case, in this example, what we see is a complex sequences of zeros and ones that matches the binary code for the ASCII characters. It matches a pattern that yields this sentence in the English language. So this is an example of complex and specified information. But again, as I said earlier, it's not the case that you always have to have semantic or syntactic information to be able to detect design. Let me give you an example of how we can find CSI and detect design without finding semantic information. And I'll use this silly example of Gork. This is Gork from outer space. And Gork has come to Earth, and he's going on a tour of mountains of the world. And first, Gork comes across this mountain, okay? And he says, okay, this mountain has a very unique and unlikely shape. The odds of it having sort of a ridge right in the center, the odds of it having every rock shape shaped exactly the way it is very, very low. And he's going to say, this is a very complex shape to this mountain. But he's going to say also, I'm not going to necessarily detect design in the shape of this mountain just because it has an unlikely shape, because I can easily account for the shape of this mountain through normal geological processes of weathering, wind and erosion and heating and cooling and freezing and thawing. That can easily explain the shape of this mountain. Well, now let's say that Gork goes to this mountain. And of course, if you guys know ID arguments, you knew where this was going. He says, okay, this mountain also has a very complex and unlikely shape, but now it's different and matches the faces of four famous presidents, okay? So now Gork can say, this is complex, yet it matches a pattern. So something that both has a specific pattern plus complex equals intelligent design. You have to have both complexity and specification to detect design. And of course, there's no semantic information in this example, but yet it's a good example of complex and specified information and where we would detect design. So of course, Gork then goes to the other side of the mountain and he sees this and he says, this is clearly design, but I don't see any semantic information around here. So we don't have to detect semantic information to be able to infer design. In fact, there is an exhibit at the Smithsonian which says the exact purpose and meaning of the designs and representations is unknown. There are some structures in this exhibit where they don't know exactly what the exhibits were for, but they were clearly designed artifacts, okay? So what this tells you is that even if we can't detect the meaning of the design, we don't know exactly what it did, we don't see any semantic information, we still might be able to detect a pattern and a complex feature that warrants the design inference. So Gork can even detect design where he doesn't necessarily know what the design means. So what are some other examples of detecting design in nature where we don't necessarily have we don't necessarily have semantic information? Well, another great example would be the cosmic architecture of the universe. When we look at some of the gravitational constant, or the speed of light, or the mass density of nature, or the strength of the weak and strong nuclear force, the expansion rate of the universe, these are all physical parameters which are finely tuned to allow life to exist. So these physical laws and constants match a very, very narrow range of what is required for life, or I should say a narrow range of what is required for life. This is high CSI, but it's not semantic information. We see an unlikely set of physical laws and constants that matches the pattern of what is necessary for life. This is very high CSI. It shows design at the level of the cosmic architecture of the universe, but we're not looking at semantic information. So I would say we can detect design even when we don't necessarily find semantic information. Of course, the rotary engine is another example, the bacterial flagellar rotary engine is another example of a machine that shows design in nature, but does not necessarily communicate semantic information. There's no abstract message in the bacterial flagellum, but there certainly is a highly complex pattern, and it even existed before we knew it was there, and it matches many aspects of design systems. So what helps us best to detect design? I would say if you look at the entire realm of detectable design, then you're going to be finding that complex and specified information is what helps you to detect design. Now, within detectable design, or CSI, is a subset that I would say includes semantic information. And within the semantic information subset, I would say, is the genetic code. That's a form of semantic information, which is a form of complex and specified information. But we don't need to necessarily find semantic information in order to detect design by finding complex and specified information. So a little midpoint conclusion here, and then we'll close it up. Information can be understood and defined in different ways. Some are useful for detecting design, and some or measuring biological information, but some are not. Semantic information is useful for detecting design. Semantic information as a class falls within complex and specified information, which is a more general mode of design detection. And I would say that the genetic code is a form of syntactic, semantic, and complex and specified information. It's a great example of where we see design in nature. I would say this, here's another bumper sticker for you. All semantic information is CSI, but not all CSI is semantic information. Okay, there you go.
Once again, that was Casey Luskin talking about the taxonomy of information. Stay tuned for more episodes. For ID the Future, I'm Sarah Chaffee. Thank you for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.